So, Brother Lonnie, will you share with us about Jesus Christ being our cornerstone and our foundation from Peter's letter? Thank you very much.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to thank God for blessing us all to be here at this side of life and this time of life. Appreciate Brother Strauss and Brother Founder and Brother Brooks and all those that are part of this nationwide gospel call. I was able to have fellowship personally with Brother Founder and Brother Brooks at Sound Doctrine Summit in Arkansas, and I always enjoy fellowship with them. As was stated tonight, my subject is pertaining to Jesus Christ, our precious stone, our chief cornerstone, our sure foundation. And what I'd like to do tonight is, first of all, is read 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 6, and then what we're going to do is go over to Isaiah 28, verse 16, and stay right there, because this is the verse that actually Peter cited from in his epistle. So if you have your Bible tonight, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's look at verse 4. Reading from the King James, it says, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." Just keep in mind the word chosen of God. In verse 5, it says, "Ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is a contained in Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Now, if you want to follow me, and I think it'll be a very easy way, it is a outline within itself. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 28, and we will read basically the same thing that I just read in Peter in the book of Isaiah 28, verse 16, in one verse. Isaiah 28 and verse 16. If you're there, let's look at it. In verse 16, it says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And he that believeth in him shall not make haste." What is the background? Here, Judah was told not to put their trust in any other person, or even gods or kings, but their trust should be in the Almighty God, the living God. And God was giving them another sign. Remember the sign in Isaiah 7:14, that he will give them a sign that there will be a virgin that will conceive and bear a son. And we know if we read Matthew's account in Matthew 1 and verse 21 and 23, that this child that the virgin will conceive will be Jesus, and his name will be called Emmanuel. But I want you to look at verse 16. Let's just spend time there, and we will go back to 1 Peter. I'll just keep making mention of it. But notice it says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone." Well, the first point that we should get from this is that God himself has chosen the stone. As you recall back in 1 Peter 2:4, it lets us know that this particular stone was disallowed of men, but chosen of God and precious. God has chosen the stone. And who is that stone? Jesus Christ. Now, here's the point that we need to make here. There are a lot of folks that are making choices about their lives, and especially when it comes to their spiritual life, by their own means, not by God's choice. The things that we do in this life must be by God's choice, and God's choice is in Christ. The Pharisees, as Peter himself cite this in Acts chapter 4 and verse 11, he says that this stone was rejected by ye builders, but now has become the head of the corner. And he was talking about all these religious leaders. And basically what they did, they put Jesus in their own category. They wanted Jesus to fit where they wanted him to fit, not how God wanted Jesus to fit. And people are doing the same thing in religion today. You've heard the expression, choose the church of your choice, or choose the worship of your choice. And basically, in other words, what people are saying, you can choose the Christ of your choice. Well, is that true? Well, absolutely not. We must choose the Christ of God's choice. Now, when you think about that, think about a lesson. Do you remember when Jesus went on that mountain with Peter, James, and John in Matthew chapter 17? And he transfigured before them. And Peter, being the outspoken one because of Elijah and Moses appearing there, he says, Lord, let us build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for thee. And as you remember, a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from that cloud said, this is my beloved son whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. This is what God is telling us today, that we need to hear Jesus. He is the one. And interesting that after it was over, Peter, James, and John fell down on their faces, and Jesus told them to get up and be not afraid. And the scripture says, when they lifted up their eyes, they saw Jesus only. People today are saying, well, let's choose Moses. Let's choose Elijah. Oh, they were excellent men. They were prophets. They were men of God. They spoke for God. But they were not God's chosen to be the savior of the world. They were not God's chosen to build his church. They were not God's chosen to be the perfect example for all mankind. But Jesus was. And I think we need to keep that in mind as we think about this, that God has chosen a stone for us to follow. It is Jesus. Remember in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God at sundry time and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, but has in these last days spoken to us through his son. John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, who will all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And we can go on and on and on and make the point that Jesus, according to 1 Peter 2:4, and we looking at Isaiah 28:16, that Jesus was the chosen one. He was that stone. Let's look what else. As we look at verse 16, not only was he a stone that was chosen of God, but he was a tried stone. A tried stone. Someone may ask the question, what is a tried stone? Well, it lets us know that this was the stone that God had chosen to accomplish salvation to mankind. Let's look at a couple of scriptures with that in mind. And Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Though he were a son, let he learn obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation for all of them that will obey him. See, Jesus was the one that came to earth in the flesh to die for us. He was the one that suffered, bled, and died. No one else can make that claim. No other man can say that I came to die for the world. I came to save the world through death. Only Jesus. And it's very important that as you look at your spiritual life, your life must be based on that tried stone, that chosen stone, that tried stone, one that came to die for our sins. Let me get some more scriptures with the tried stone. One important aspect about Jesus being the tried stone, he did not commit sin. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, hereunto were you called because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, who made sin for us, who did no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 and following, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted of all points, yet without sin. See, Jesus comes to try a stone because he was sinless, he was perfect, he was the one that died for our sins. Not only that, but he became the tried stone because he is the one, the only one, that was able to build his church. As you recall in Matthew chapter 16, and hopefully you've heard that verse many times on this gospel call, but Jesus told his disciples, well, first he asked them in verses 13 to verse 18, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Some said that he was Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, or one of the prophets. Then Jesus asked, whom do you say that I am? Peter, being the outspoken one, said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's another one. Who else can make that claim? That Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Jesus told Peter, blessed art thou, Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The tried stone not only died for our sins, not only sinless, he also promised to build his church, and his church is a church that everyone should be a member of, be a part of, because it was God's chosen stone. You look in Colossians chapter 1:18, he is the head of the body, the church. Jesus is the head, meaning that Jesus has all authority. No one else can say that they have all authority. It's very important that when you think about Jesus as this precious stone, this cornerstone, he was first what? Chosen of God. It was a tried stone. Look back at verse 16 of Isaiah 28. What else that we see here? Not only was he a tried stone, he was a precious cornerstone. What do we mean about precious cornerstone? You think about what the cornerstone meant in the Jewish culture. And cornerstone provides the lines and the pattern for all the rest of the construction of that house. Cornerstone is a straight and true. Everything in the entire building lines up in reference to the cornerstone. This is exactly what 1 Peter 2:6 says. It's about Jesus as being that cornerstone. And they that believe on him shall not be confounded. So you think about, first of all, the cornerstone was a area of the house. All the rest of the building will line up behind that stone and will be built on that stone. What are people doing today? They're trying to build church apart from the precious cornerstone. They're trying to come up with their own religion. They're saying things like this, any church would do, or it doesn't really matter. Well, is that true according to Scripture? Jesus is the chosen stone. He is the tried stone. Now he is the precious cornerstone. Let's take time out for station identification. He's talking to the Christians, those that are members of the Lord's church. Jesus being the precious cornerstone means that he is our perfect example. It means that every Christian should strive to be conformed to the very image of Christ. Romans 8 and verse 29. As I mentioned in 1 Peter 2 verse 1, we should walk in his steps or follow his steps. Philippians 2:5, have this mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That word confounded, that you be confounded, that those that do not follow Jesus as the true stone and the foundation are going to be lost. Because they put their trust in mankind, they put their trust in opinions, they put their trust in the crowd that's going. They did not put their trust in God. Remember this, when Isaiah mentioned this, Israel, if Judah would have put their trust in God, they would have never gone into captivity because they put their trust in man, had to punish them. So, we have here so far. First of all, Jesus is that stone. He's the chosen stone of God. second is the tried stone. Things Jesus did, died for our sins, the head of the church, built church. He is the precious stone that he is our perfect example. Everything that we do must line up with Jesus. How you, what your worship line up with Jesus? Interesting, if you go to the building of where the church of Christ meets, have to look at it, you won't see a piano and drum and an organ, but you may see song books where members will come together. They will sing a cappella, will sing, and basically the word a cappella means song of the church, and they will sing and only sing. Take of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, not once a month, every 3 months. Give every first day of the week. We'll hear them preaching the word from the Bible, New Testament. These are the things that line up with Jesus. Look at the last point tonight. When you look in Isaiah 28 and verse 16, mentions that not only a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. See, many of you live in a home that has a foundation. In most cases, you would, because the foundation is not strong, the house will sink. Notice that the foundation must be laid first. Our foundation is in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11, passage lets us know, other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, that is Jesus Christ. For the foundation, by that, since foundation is the very heart of the house, because the first thing when you look at it, the house that's being built right close to the church building. We saw that house when it first started. First of all, they cleared the ground. Then they had to lay the foundation. They laid that foundation. They were able to build on house. Foundations can no man lay. There are men that are trying to lay other foundations. There's only one, that is Jesus Christ. Recall that. Think about the foundation. Only our hope can be in Christ. Peter 1, verse 3. According to his abundant mercy, he's begotten us again unto the living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is our living hope. We can hope in him. We can trust in him. One that, do you remember the song, the wise man built his house upon the rock and the foolish man built his house upon the sand? In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 and following, it says, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them is likened unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. Flood came, the rain descended, and the wind beat and blew against that house. It did not fall. It was founded on the rock. That's what it's about. We put our, when we lay our foundation on Jesus Christ, there's nothing that's going to cause it to fall. But when your foundation is on anything else beside Christ, oh, it's going to sooner or later fall. But Jesus said about the foolish man. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Came to sin, the flood came, and the wind beat and blew against that house, and it did fall, and great was the fall of it. Jesus becomes our foundation. Becomes our foundation. We can build over these points again and make some application. Isaiah 28:16, where Peter quotes Peter 2:4-6. Jesus is chosen of God, that stone, the tried stone, the one that died for our sins, is the precious cornerstone, the one that we need to line up with and the whole building is based on. It's a sure foundation because other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. A reference to that, if Jesus Christ is stone, the precious stone, the foundation, everything we do must be based on his authority, on him. Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. At Pentecost, when Peter preached that sermon that was recorded in Acts 2, 36, he says, wherefore, people, know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus that you have crucified, Lord in Christ. They heard this, they put in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? The question you might be asking tonight, because you realize that Jesus Christ is that true stone, one that you need to live by. Folks felt guilt because they realized they crucified the Lord Jesus. That's what should we do. What did Peter tell them? Acts 2:38, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of your sins. That's how your sins are remitted, that you must be baptized Christ. The only way that you're going to become Christian. First of all, you must hear the teachings of Jesus as you heard tonight. Believe that. 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You heard the word of God. You believe Jesus died, that he was there and he arose again the third day. You must repent. That means change your mind. Change your mind about any way would do or any church would do or choose the church of your choice. Not even biblical. Choose God's choice, which is Christ. Confession is the fourth step. If you agree with what Jesus has said, confess his name that he is Lord. As we mentioned, the last step, you are baptized for the remission of your sins. For Christians, making Jesus our true home every day that we live, that people see that Christ is living in us, which is the only way that the world is going to see the true Christ. Anyway, this lesson has you and was a lesson that you can go back and read 1 Peter 2:4-6. Go back and read Isaiah 28:16. And you will be blessed and you will realize there's Christ only, true. Before the time, bless you.